Give the Lord a hand clap of praise.
Good to see each one here this morning. Excuse me. Sorry about that. Let's open up our Bibles together. Lamentations chapter 3. Afternoon, I had my whole train of thought changed, so I'm trusting that's the will of the Lord for today. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him. To the soul that seeketh him, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence, because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth in the dust, if so be there may be hope. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is filled full with reproach. For the Lord will not cast off forever, but though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men, to crush under his feet all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the right of a man before the face of the Most High, to subvert a man in his cause, the Lord approveth not. Who is he that saith, and it cometh not to pass, when the Lord commandeth it not? Out of the mouth of the Most High proceedeth not evil and good? Wherefore doth a living man complain, for the punishment of his sins? Let us search and try our ways, and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens.
Wow. Amen.
Second Chronicles, chapter 7, and just one verse. Second Chronicles, chapter 7. Verse 14. Know your promise in the scriptures. 2 Chronicles 7, 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. We've been preaching on the living God's dwelling place, and I'd like to continue that thought this morning on the sincere and obedient heart. God's dwelling place is within the sincere and obedient heart. Let's bow our heads together. Does anyone have a need from the Lord as we approach His Word, knowing that the Word has the fulfillment of any need that's in our lives? Would you go ahead and raise your hand to Him now, and I believe He'll respond to your faith. Heavenly Father, we come humbly but boldly to your throne of grace this afternoon, asking you, Lord, again, just to let us be found in the blood of Christ. Don't let us come into this holy place, this holy atmosphere, Lord, with our own merits, knowing that there's no good about us, Lord, that we just failed so many times left and right. But Lord, we come through the blood of Jesus Christ, the one that gave his life and put it on the cross and said, I'll forgive you through this. Lord, we accept that this morning. And I pray, Lord, if there be one soul here that doesn't know you in a personal saving relationship, Lord, that this would be the service that changes that. Lord, if there be one soul here that's empty, that needs a filling of the Holy Ghost, I pray that this service would change that as well. Lord, if there be any need of healing, of salvation, of joy and peace, Lord, we know that you're still the fountain of everlasting water. And we come, Lord, not to take a little sip, Lord, but we want a big gulp and drink of your goodness and mercy, Lord. Help each one by faith to raise it up to that level, to know that you're still here and you're still with us and you're here for our benefit. Lord, your mercies are new again today as they have been every day. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be in your house. We pray, Lord, for the requests on the people's hearts, Lord, that they lifted up to you. I pray that you'd meet each one through the word this afternoon. And commit the service to your hands, trusting you'll do things greater and more marvelous than we could ever ask or hope. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray and believe it. Amen. You may be seated. The sincere and obedient heart. I don't mean to be as emotional as I might seem like I am right now, but when you approach something like this, it's very difficult because you love people. You love one another. But if I really love people, you have to tell the truth, and you have to be honest, and that's what we're getting into. You have to be sincere about it. You can't be wishy-washy. You can't say one thing to one brother just because you like him, and then here comes another brother that has the same thing, but you're going to change your judgment because you don't like him so much. That's not the way the scriptures work. That just shows that God doesn't dwell there. Because when God says something, it's the same all the time. He never changes it, because when he said it the first time, he was sincere. He meant it with everything he was. When he looked at the world and said, I know that they have sin and I know they must die, but I will come and be in their place. He never had to say that again. He never had to change it, because he was sincere when God said he would die for the sins of the world. And aren't you grateful that God doesn't change his mind? Had God changed his mind, we might get to heaven one day, and then a couple million years down the road of eternity, he might have said, you know what, I don't really love you anymore, and then heaven wouldn't be all that heavenly, would it? We live every day in fear, wondering if God's going to ever change his mind, because we couldn't figure out if he was really sincere about it when he said he loved me. Right. And how much more us, the children of God, that we should expect that if God dwells in his sincerity, he can only dwell in ours. And I can't help but look at the Message Church, and I'm not going to talk about denominations. We already understand that they've taken their day of grace and thrown it to the wayside. I'm talking to the group that claims to have the full gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm talking to that group, and I've watched the sincerity of that group that's supposed to have the Holy Ghost. That's the sincerity of the group that's supposed to have all things that Christ promised, and I've watched the sincerity hit rock bottom.
Sure.
And God is not pleased with that. If God was so sincere that every single time you need healing, he's there. If every single time you need a friend, he's there. Where is our sincerity back to God? Amen. That he's got to let us get sickness just so we will pray. Sometimes I think we're too blessed for our own good.
That's right.
Sure.
Anybody got that way one time where you were so sick you realized, hey, the only thing I can do right now is pray.
Amen.
And then it dawned on you that maybe that's what God was trying to get across to me in the first place.
Sure, amen.
Then I'm dilly-dallying about in the ways of the world and not even necessarily sinful. I hope you understand what I'm saying. If you're living in sin, well, you ain't even born again yet. You need to find the Holy Ghost. You shouldn't be living in sin now. But a Christian that dilly-daddles in the things of the world and just so the cares of life and you watch his relationship with God, it dwindles and dwindles and dwindles. It's hard to say that you really fell in love.
Amen.
Right.
If I really fell in love with my wife, I want to be around her. I don't want to just see her once a week and that's all right. Just yesterday, she was gone most of the day and it was a little odd for me. I don't like that too well because I love her.
Amen.
I'm at work and stuff. I come a little distracted about it, but I had to hang out with Dad, so you know how tough that was.
Amen.
But as we read there, I ain't here to bring condemnation now. I hope you understand. I believe that we're sons and daughters of God. I believe that God has given us the baptism of the Holy Ghost, those of you that's been changed from death unto life. I believe that. And I believe that God has mercy for us. It's just said, as we read there, it is the Lord's mercy. We aren't consumed for our own mistakes and our own foolishness and the things that we do wrong.
Amen.
And that his compassions really are new every day.
Amen.
He's always got more. You can never exhaust this God. And even in the midst of, we read that from the book of Lamentations, and if you know what Lamentations is about, it's about the time in Jerusalem where Jeremiah the prophet was telling them what bad was going to happen. He warned them over and over again, you don't have to go through this, but I already know, God already knew too. You're going to reject this and you're going to go through it.
Amen.
And we think, how come he was so sad about this? Well, if you'd have looked around in your streets and saw the woman down the street that has a dead baby because they had to eat it because that's all they had. They didn't have any more food. If you look at everyone starving, and you could just, Jeremiah could go in his mind saying, a few, 4 or 5 years ago, I remember seeing those kids out there playing on the streets, and now there's tombs over there from all of them dying of starvation. Mm-hmm. And there's their fathers who are probably out there getting slain by the Babylonians somewhere. And to think, why was he lamenting? Because it didn't have to be so.
Right.
It didn't have to be that way. God had provided a way out of all of that. Amen. And they had taken it and say, no, Jeremiah, we're going to go with these preachers that aren't necessarily sincere. These that'll tell us what we want to hear when we need to hear it.
Right.
They want to come around and pat me on the back saying, well, we know brother Jeremiah or Jehoshaphat. Jehoiada. I'm trying to come up with some Jewish name. Sorry, I didn't want to say Jeremiah. But brother, you know, it's all right you didn't come Sunday. I understand you had to just take care of that. You know, you had to take care of that business, had to go watch some football. It's all right. God's mercies are new. And you see how quickly Satan takes the word that is true and twists it and puts it in a situation that it doesn't apply to.
Right,
if you're willingly disobedient, the Bible says there's no blood for you anymore.
Right.
It's one thing to do it and then recognize you've done wrong and come back to right. But when you look at what you've done wrong and you go, you know what? It's all right. It'll be okay because I serve a merciful God. Well, that's a pretty good Catholic doctrine. That's exactly where it came from. And those people are going to hell by the droves.
Right.
Because they're trusting that God will just forgive them just because.
Wow.
Not in the sincerity of their heart. Look, the Bible said to receive the Holy Ghost, you must repent. And I'm pretty sure half-hearted repentance won't get you the Holy Ghost.
Right. Amen.
And it's the same for us. Even if you are a Christian, as I said, if you've received the Holy Ghost, how can you walk in fellowship if you notice that your sincerity is not what it used to be?
Yes.
Amen.
When you go to what you want to feed on, is it the Word of God? Is it prayer with God? Do we listen to the message of the hour like it's something important in our lives? Or are we too busy watching this movie and thinking on this thing and worrying about these scores and worried about the next day at work? Let that stuff take care of itself and cast it out of your life. Christ is everything.
Amen.
And if he was willing to give his whole heart for me, how much little is it for me just to give my heart back to him?
Yes, Lord. Amen.
I'm convinced this is why people don't have the power of God in their life. They're waiting on someone else's sincerity to get the results from God. And God will honor that. If I'm just saying for me, but it could be the same for any other person. If I come sincerely and believing that all things are possible, and somebody comes forward to be prayed for, my faith can cause it to happen.
Right.
Amen.
But that's not what God wants.
Right.
He wants every person here to have the same sincerity.
That's right.
Yes, Lord.
And I wonder how many times Christians have, you know, the ones that just kind of float along with the group, wonder how many blessings they've got because of others that have prayed for them and others that have loved them and others that have been sincere for them.
Amen.
And I've seen it in the ministry many times, and not necessarily myself, haven't been in it long enough, I don't think just yet, but ministers that feel like, man, I just give and I give and I give and I give. Does anyone ever even care about me?
Sure.
Like I said, I'm not saying that for myself. I just recently heard this from a brother saying it just dawned on him one day, you know, I pray for this person, pray for this person. Does anybody pray for me? And we'll see a man under the anointing and think, oh my, he's just wonderful. He's a super Christian. I wish I could be like him, and realize that he goes home with the same battles you have. And the only reason he looks like Superman is because the anointing's on him, and Superman is the anointing, right? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I wish I could get a people to believe that like the ministry is, right? When we get up here and we feel good under the anointing, you should be the same out there. Because it's not about me getting up here and being some intercessor between you and God. It's us being in heavenly places together in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
But what hinders you from seeing God in a service is not that God isn't here. How sincere are you about it?
Amen.
When we started all this about dwelling in God's dwelling place, what was the first thing? Is why do we have church in the first place? And if you don't have that, there ain't no point in coming to church. If you think church is just to come hear some fancy preaching, or maybe like the way Brother Andrew wears his hair or something, or I just want to be around my friends and be around those that are at least nice and good people, because you can't hardly find out in the world no more. Well, if you're doing all that, you're wasting your time, because you'll get nothing out of the Word of God. You must recognize that the Word of God being preached, and the Word of God being read, and the Word of God wherever it is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I warned you, if you ever put confidence in a church, if you ever put confidence in a man, if you ever put confidence in some idea, it will fail you.
Amen.
The last thing I want is for you to put your confidence in me, that I can do all things for you. Because I will fail you. And I don't want to watch your faith get dwindled because Brother Andrew made a mistake. I hope you understand what I'm trying to get at. We must be sincere about this. This isn't about you and I. It's about Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you believe that He stands in your midst now? That He has ordained this moment? This isn't by chance. You are exactly where you are by the grace of God for the purpose of God. That God can come and fulfill His word in your life.
Amen.
That Jesus Christ is the same in every believer.
Amen.
Say, well, I don't know what gifts I have. It don't matter. Do what you can. How many of you know how to pray?
Sure.
Actually, you'd be surprised how many people don't even know how to pray anymore because we don't worry about messages. Just come. Just come to church, you know, and just, you know, look like everybody else. Don't worry about your prayer life at home. If you don't have prayer lives at home, we might as well not have service.
Right.
Amen.
We can have prayer services at church. That's fine. I'm not against that by any means. But look, if the people ain't praying at home, you're just wasting time.
Right.
Like we just said before, who knows? We just come together and there's only two people that actually got faith, but everybody leaves thinking they do.
Right.
Where if you're in your own prayer closet at home and you can have the Shekinah glory come into your house, you don't have to worry about why He showed up.
Oh, yes,
I know why He was here, because I'm the only one here right now. And that's the relationship Jesus Christ wants with each believer, is that the Shekinah glory can dwell, not just come for vacation, can dwell in your life, that wherever you need Him, He's there.
Amen.
And it's the truth anyhow, whether you want to believe it or not, it's truth. But if you want benefits from it now, if you want to receive what He has for it, you must believe.
Right.
And the only way you can really believe like you're supposed to is you have to be sincere about it.
Right.
Amen.
People say they've received Christ. People say that they've passed from death unto life. But you watch the sincerity in their life. And if you can't convince a man that something's happened, how are you going to convince a holy God that something's happened in your life?
Amen.
If I can look and say, well, He just said that, but look at this. Say, I wonder if you serve Christ or not. Well, let me go through your house and see what you got on the walls. Let me see what you listen to day in and day out. And most message people are, well, they used to be a little better at it. They ain't no good at it no more. They used to go ahead and hide it in the closet or put it on under the rug somewhere and then only get it out when the friends weren't around. Now it's mine. They just put it on the Facebook, won't they?
Yeah.
Went to the movies last week. What? You go looking at even what kind of movies they're watching these days. It's pathetic. Did anybody hear that they're coming out with a new Noah movie? Anybody hear that by any chance? They're supposed to be coming out with this new Noah movie, and they got, what's his name, Russell Crowe or something? Some big-time actor doing this movie. And I said, God have mercy, this is going to be awful. I could feel it already. This is not good. And they got special effects on it and all that. And you're just like, no, no, just stop now. You want to just go there and rip it up and say, how about I just go talk to them about it and they'll get the right story. But I guess in this, just from what little I researched about it, here's what Hollywood does with the gospel. Are you ready? Noah didn't actually hear from God. He just had some crazy dreams where the world was going to be destroyed by water. And he talks to Methuselah, which we know is truth. Methuselah was alive all the way until the flood hit.
That's right.
And then God took him off the scene. But he talks to him and he looks like some crazy old grandpa. I mean, they just make him look like a total psychopath. And anyways, you know, they get on the ark, or they're going to get on the ark, and they got all these people coming to fight them and saying, you need to stop doing this and stop doing that. And it becomes this big political motive why Noah was building the ark. He was defiant against the badness of the government. How about he was a preacher of righteousness, and if you don't get in this ark, you will die. That was the message. It wasn't him being defiant at all. He was being the door of grace to them. And isn't that what happens to the gospel when it loses its sincerity? Instead of being the door of life, it becomes the door of death.
Sure.
You bunch of Christians, you bunch of jerks, right? You won't let people wear whatever they want to. What kind of love is Jesus is that? Be holy as He is holy. Look, you can wear what you want to Him. That's fine. That's dandy. But you won't go to eternal life looking like that.
Right.
See, it becomes the way of life, not the way of death. We're not kicking people out of heaven. We're showing them this is the only way to get there. You must be born again. And if you're born again, your life will testify that you're born again. That the Word says you women dress holy. You don't mess with the things of the world. Don't look like anything of them.
Right.
That's what you should do if you're born again. And say, well, Lord said it. I want to do that because the life within me has to match the word.
Amen.
That's the checkpoint, isn't it?
Right.
That's to see how sincere you are. If the word says it, does it matter what you feel like?
Nope.
Does it matter what your brother thinks or these people at work think? If it does, there's something wrong somewhere.
Amen.
It's time to go back and check up. Is the word really my absolute? Am I really fully convinced that what I have is God Almighty?
Sure.
Or can it change later down the road?
Come
on. You show me one time in the Bible where God moved on someone that wasn't sincere about it. Even those that were serpent seed, even those that hated God, when they were sincere, God showed up.
Yes, He did.
And I have a few examples, and I'll just paraphrase. I might go a little long if I go into all this, but Cain says twice that the Lord came and talked to him.
Right.
Because he was sincere. When Cain gave his offering, he thought he was doing right. You understand that? And God knew that.
Yeah.
He thought this nice shiny altar he had come up with, this fruit that he put on there, with all that he knew, that's what he did. And God came and spoke to him. Because he had not accepted his offering. He didn't just leave it that way either. He said, Cain, let me show you why.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to tell you why. Because you were sincere, I'll come meet with you. And he talked to Cain personally. He says, just do what your brother did.
Right.
And I'll accept you.
Amen.
And even after he killed Abel and rejected it, remember the Lord said, I hear your brothers crying from the ground. And remember he said, you'll be a vagabond, Cain. You'll be going here, pillar to post. And what did Cain say? He says, my punishment's too hard for me. He said, because anybody that finds me will kill me. And look at the mercies of God. He said, fine, I'll put a mark on Cain. If anybody touches him, you'll be guilty seven times.
Right.
The sincerity of a serpent seed. Literally, the serpent seed.
Right.
Yes.
And God answered him.
Amen.
Hagar, remember the woman that Abraham had Ishmael by? A man that we knew what Ishmael would become. God knew it the whole time. That this would be the group of people that would fight his people.
Uh-huh.
This would be the group that would be number one trying to destroy Israel all the time. And he knew that. But for one woman, as she was crying out in the... Because remember, Sarah had said, cast her out of here.
Right.
And Abraham didn't want to do it, but God said, obey the voice of your wife. And he said, okay, Hagar, you've got to go. And he took Ishmael with her. As Hagar was out there, remember, they began to be thirsty
right.
and about to die.
Amen.
And just a little whimper cry,
yeah.
God was there.
Uh-huh.
Because she was sincere. She was sincere about it. Now, had they been okay and maybe had enough to kind of get by, they probably wouldn't have been sincere enough about it. And that's what's the problem with the American church
right.
today.
Yeah.
You've got too much to even realize that you are poor, wretched, blind, naked, and you don't know it because we've been given so much substitute, it looks like you have all that.
Right.
If we only knew, and we're starting to figure out a little bit about it, a little bit, but if we only knew what kind of stuff they're feeding us,
yeah.
you'd stop putting your confidence in it.
Right.
If you only knew how fast they'd sell you away, you'd stop worrying about them and realize I need to get to Christ because if I don't stay in Christ, I'm done.
Right.
And that's why you're watching people start to lose their minds, those that start searching this stuff out because they're beginning to realize the truth of it, that they've been duped for years, thinking that the government cares about them, thinking about that they got their back and their insurance companies are going to save them out of this. And yeah, and every time you need a claim, what happens to your insurance company? Can't cover that one.
Right.
I mean, I know you've been paying us for 50 years of your life, but the one time you need us, sorry, can't do it.
Right.
That's like the devil's insurance plan, isn't it? But aren't you glad that the Christian doesn't have an insurance plan? He has an assurance
right.
plan that what God says, He will do it.
Amen.
I need in need of healing this morning. And I do actually be honest with you, and I'm feeling better by the second. I have blessed assurance. He said, if I ask you, do it.
Amen.
Didn't say when, didn't say how. I don't worry about that part of it. I don't need to figure that out. I just need to get the results.
Amen.
Right.
Don't tell me how to start. I know how to put my key in my van and turn it. I don't know what's going on in there. It doesn't really matter to me. Did the car start moving?
Amen.
Then I'm okay.
Right.
Hallelujah. Another time. Remember Abimelech when Abraham had backslid and he was trying to sell off his wife because he was scared of his own hide. And Abimelech was going to take her to wife. What happened? Remember, he was all ready to go, wasn't he? He had it all cleaned up. We're going to have this wedding tomorrow. I'm excited. Sarah must have been one beautiful woman. Tell you what, king of a nation, say that about a woman. I want her. But what happened in the middle of the night? Remember, God came to him in a dream and said, you're as good as a dead man.
Uh-huh.
And what did he say? I'll read you this. And Abimelech said, excuse me, but Abimelech had not come near her. And he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, she is my sister, and she even herself said he is my brother. And the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. And God said unto him in a dream. Oh my, I wonder if we can hear the voice of God in a dream if we get one. God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. A king of a heathen nation. Who's to say any of these people serve the living God at all? But him and the integrity of his heart. Now, God knows your heart, whether you're lying or not. You might be able to lie to me. You might be able to lie to your husband, your wife, your children. You can't lie to God. If you don't really believe it, he knows.
Amen.
And if you're really, truly ignorant of something that you're doing wrong, God knows that. Mm-hmm. That's why David even said, Lord, forgive me my presumptuous sins. The things I don't even realize I did wrong. Because there's mercy for that.
Amen.
But God didn't let Abimelech continue to sin because he knew the integrity of his heart. And he said, no, I'll stop him. So he came to him in a way that he would hear his voice, personally, one-on-one.
Amen.
And said, don't touch her. That's another man's wife. And that's what that's the point, that's all I'm saying. That's what I don't understand about Methodist churches is why do I got to try to go over these things over and over again that if you're sincere, why didn't God tell you that already?
Amen.
Does anybody think I need to get up and say Christians shouldn't murder other people? You wouldn't think so. Why do we have to do it? Because are we being sincere enough with God that the Holy Spirit can come and tell us these things?
Right, amen.
Or when he comes to give us a spiritual dream, what are we doing? We're too busy doing this or doing this or doing something else that by the time God was going to give us a dream, the devil's got so many thoughts in your head, you can't have a spiritual dream anymore. Don't blame God. You don't hear from God. Blame yourself. God is speaking to all of mankind all the time.
Amen.
And to think that this God of the universe, he wants to preoccupy himself trying to talk to me, and I want to preoccupy myself talking to the devil.
Right.
It's time to be more sincere, I believe. We don't want God coming in and coming and going, coming and going. We don't want our sincerity coming and going, coming and going. We need to be fully convinced that what we have is eternal life. And that without this, we don't have a chance in the world. Then it's easier to be sincere, isn't it? When you're really completely sold out that this is all the truth there is, then you can be sincere about it. But I can't help but believe that most people aren't truly convinced yet.
Amen.
You know, the message sounds pretty good. The power of God sounds pretty good. But you know, if something else comes around that tickles the ear a little bit more, they'll probably dump it for a second. And we're watching it happen by the droves.
Amen.
Just shows you never were convinced in the first place. You never received the Holy Ghost in the first place. You were lying the whole time. But maybe it was because some backslidden message preacher was afraid to preach on your sin. And just let you feel like, oh yeah, it's all right. You know, just keep coming to church. You can solemnly leave because we know you're related to this brother who's related to this one, the new brother Branham. And if we do that, if we break that up, you know, I know you're watching TV and things at home and doing all this, but you know, that's okay. It's all right. God in his time. Well, no, sir.
Amen.
No, sir, you claim to have the Holy Ghost. Something better happen in your life or you're a liar.
Right.
And the worst thing you can do is lie to yourself.
Amen.
Because outside of a Christian that believes in God, you know who you're going to believe in? Yourself. And your old rotten flesh will lead you to the way of death every time. It's done to every man. Every man that leaves the presence of God, he heads to death as fast as he can go. Because when he's fallen, that's the only thing that makes sense in his mind. When the flood came, I truly believe it was man's intellect that caused the flood to happen. God didn't even have to do it. The only thing judgment comes from is God taking his protective hands off.
Amen.
And saying, fine, have it your way.
Right.
Amen.
It's God's mercy. He doesn't give people what they ask for all the time.
Right.
Because we think we can figure it out, don't we? We think, well, if I just, we reason with this, we reason with that, you know, oh, I really want this car. And we instead of praying about it and saying, Lord, do I need this?
Yeah.
Sure.
And realizing that you're totally dependent on his knowledge anyhow, because as much as you try to be smart about it, there might be one thing you don't know.
Yeah, that's right.
But he does.
Amen.
He said, that's kind of foolish, just ask about a car or where should I go to lunch? And think, I think he cares. I really do. I'm convinced the more I walk in this Christian walk, that God cares about every little thing of my life.
That's right.
Amen.
Because He is, to put it the only way I can think of right now, He's obsessed with me.
Yes. Good.
How much more should I be obsessed with Him?
Amen.
Lord, I've read a few chapters today, but I'm just so obsessed I can't put this book down. Now your flesh won't like that, but we're not interested in that. Don't listen to the flesh. The flesh ain't you in the first place if you're born again.
Amen.
That's some other guy that just happens to live in the same house that you're ready to kill any moment, any day, and every day he dies again and he tries to come home, you kill him again and just keep doing it.
Yes.
Don't never identify with that. Be sincere about it, that he is truly your enemy.
Yes.
He's not an ally in any sort of, I hope you get what I'm getting at here. Right. If you're sincere enough, you have to recognize I am my own worst enemy. And I need to treat my life that way. If I'm having to have any success in God, I have to crucify myself every day.
Amen.
He cares, do you care? 63, listen closely. That's even becoming Pentecost in the churches. It's becoming to the Pentecostal realms that they're always promising something that they never get to it. It's always that every fellow has a different sensation and makes it, whether it's, who cares if it's scriptural or not, and they're promising something that they never do get to it until it seems like they've got to a place that where it doesn't seem to be any sincerity. The people don't get down to that real kernel of sincerity. The very English word of sincerity has lost its value to the people. Or by the people's way of living, it's lost its sincerity to them. Now they don't seem to understand. Even to our confessions. Now, I want you people that are coming on here and behold on tapes, if you listen closely now for a moment to this quotation, unless you are deeply sincere, and you cannot be sincere until you positively understand. If you're presuming or guessing or hoping so, then there cannot be a depth of sincerity that God requires. It's faith. It's not a hope so, or it could be right. It's got to be absolutely amen. It's your ultimate. It's your absolute. It's the thing that you're tied to. See, you have come to your ultimate, that it's the truth, and it's nothing but the truth, and it must be thus. And then when you realize that in your mind, then you've got to approach it with your whole life, soul, body. That's all that's in you. Just completely sell out everything to it. Jesus took to this point where he said, if you're not willing to leave father, mother, brothers, children, wives, and even yourself, you're not even worthy to take the cross.
Amen.
Because of that right there. If you're not fully convinced that what you have is the true baptism of the Holy Ghost, it's time to go get it.
Right, amen.
It's time to figure out where you missed it somehow, because if you really meet Christ, it should be sold out.
Right.
We understand, though, it just says Cain, that you can receive the revelation of what the Word is supposed to be and not walk in it.
Right.
Wow. And God have mercy on a man or woman that would do that. Because you get a very short time of grace and then it's over. Once you take the revealed word of God and you deny it and cast it away, you're finished.
Right.
As we preach Wednesday, we're not of them that draw back into perdition, but of them that believe.
Amen.
How many's convinced that you have the original life?
Amen. Glory to God.
The same thing that was poured out on the day of Pentecost has now returned and is right here standing in this building right now. Why isn't it activated like the way we think it should be? And you know what? It should be. It should be more. Let's just be honest with ourselves. It should be more.
Sure, amen.
This is just me, but I get tired of reading prayer requests and watching people die. God has it at a point in time. I understand that, and I know that it all works out for His glory. But I can't help but believe that there are plenty of times where He could have got more glory, and we didn't believe Him.
Right.
Well, why didn't we believe? How sincere were we about it? Brother Branham said, when you pray for people that come up the line, if you can't have compassion on them, you might as well go ahead and stop. Because until you can put yourself into that person, how can you pray the right way? It shows that you have to have your sincerity to where it is all into what you're doing.
Yeah.
If there's any little bit of confusion, if there's any little bit of doubt, how will you put your full heart into it? You can't do it. If I'm afraid that my car might blow up if I turn it on, I ain't turning the key.
Right.
Because I'm afraid it'll burst. And that's where most people's experiences are that don't have the power of God in their life. They think, oh my, if I really get into this, you know, God might destroy me one day. If you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, He can't destroy you.
Amen.
Because the same life that he has deposited into you.
Amen.
And when God became flesh, he didn't sit around on promises of God and act like they couldn't have happened. He had what he said he had.
Amen.
To where whatever he desired, it happened.
That's right.
Because his desire was always right. It was always for others. It was always the Word. It was never selfish. It was never putting himself above any other person, because that life is God's character.
Amen.
Where he constantly lets it flow out of him. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of life.
Yes. Amen.
I'm going to paraphrase the story because I don't want to go too long this morning. Brother Branham talks about the mamba. Do you remember that story at all? The mamba going through and coming through the snake, it's like trail out there or something like that. Brother Branham's talking about it. And he said he was in a vision. He watched that mamba. And he knew that that thing is instant death. If it gets a hold of you, you're dead. And Brother Branham talks about that. He stands up like this and he hits you right in the face. And then you got about a few seconds and you're gone. Brother Branham was watching that. We know what the serpent comes back all the way back to Genesis, that first rotten devil that started this out, and that was the greatest snake that there was, and he was watching it, and he kept watching, and it's kind of hard to say exactly how he said it, but he said that it kept trying to come at him, but something kept stopping it. It could never get to him. The Lord said, he can't touch you.
Amen.
He can't touch you.
Amen.
And we thought, wow, that's a great vision. No, yes, praise God, that's awesome. We're protected by the grace of God. That's not where the vision stopped.
That's right.
But then he watched and he saw his friend standing out there.
Amen.
And that mamba was going right for him. The Lord came to him and says, you have power to bind him.
Amen.
So he said, okay, in the name of Jesus Christ, I bind you. And he said it twisted up like an and symbol, and it hit the ground and went right, and said, blue smoke came out of it. He said, what did that mean? It was an and symbol, because the greatest and all below it was captive now.
Amen.
And that's the power invested into a Christian. It's not time to let the devil run rampant. You have been given power over Satan and everything below him.
Amen.
But why is it an access? Brother Branham, he explains why. He watched it and he said, now the Lord came to him and said, you have power to unbind him too. He said, okay, in the name of Jesus Christ, I unbind you. And he said that thing started coming back to life. And he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I bind you.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
But he proved the point that he is in complete control of the enemy.
That's right.
I want to read the rest of it. I know I have it here. There it is. And a voice came. This is Paradox 61. And a voice came from above me and said, you've been given power to bind him, the worst of any. And I said, well, God, what must I do? There's only one thing you must do. You must be more sincere.
Amen.
You must be more sincere. I said, well, God, forgive me for my insincerity and let me have sincerity.
Amen.
Don't leave this church trying to work up some sincerity in some, because what you're going to do is you're going to make a mockery out of it. You're going to become legalistic about whatever this, that, or the other thing. You just need to pray, God, forgive me for being insincere. I appreciate the man. Remember, he brought his child to Jesus. He said, Lord, help me of my unbelief.
Amen.
At least he was honest about it. The problem is, to me, Mr. Churchers got their chests all pumped up, man, like they got a bunch of faith, and they don't have anything,
Amen.
And they can't get anything from God because they won't be honest with him because they're not sincere.
Amen.
But if you can come to God and say, you know what, Lord, just help me of my insincerity. I can see where I was worrying about myself instead of somebody else. I can see where I should have been fellowship with you and I was doing something else. And I'm not sincere like I need to be. Lord, help me of my insincerity.
Amen.
And make me more sincere, because I'm convinced that this is the Word of God. And I'm convinced that you've invested this power in me. And I want to see it bring you glory.
Amen.
That's when you can get success from God. That's when you can trample forward. Is when you've given it your whole heart.
Amen.
I'd rather go down fighting than not try at all.
Right.
I'd rather go down fighting than trying 99%.
Amen.
I'd rather fall flat on my face and know that I gave it all that God gave me the ability to,
right,
than to look back and go, my, I could have done this.
Right.
I could have done that.
Right.
And I willingly did it.
Amen.
Well, God, forgive me for my insincerity. And let me have sincerity. And when I raised up my hands to him again, there was a great something came over me, just lifted me up. Seemed like my whole body was charged with something. See how quickly God responded to the prophet?
because he knew that he meant it. When he said, Lord, make me more sincere, God knew he meant it. And when you say you believe, but the power of God doesn't act upon what you say you believe, you don't really believe it yet.
That's right.
And there's something in the way somewhere. Don't look at, well, if Brother Andrew would have preached this way, I would have got it this service. If they would have came and be, you know, done this religious act this way, then I would have got it. And you're pointing the finger at everyone else. No, just go home and point it at yourself.
Right.
This is why I didn't get the promise of God. I disbelieved it somewhere.
Amen.
Lord, show it to me.
Amen.
And be willing to let him talk to you the way he wants to.
Right.
You men, it might be your wife.
Uh-huh.
You wives, it might be your husband. You parents, it might be your children. And it's always so subtle, but you know when it's the voice of God.
Amen.
One day I was sitting there diddly-daddling on my iPad. One day, I don't even remember what I was doing. But I remember my little boy was down there hitting me on the leg. He said, Daddy, Daddy, come here. Daddy, Daddy, come here. I began to think, my, here I am wasting my energy on something that doesn't even live. And there's my son. And there's a reason the whole nation's going crazy. There's my son that just wants me to show I love him and get on the ground and let him jump on me. And I'm too preoccupied.
Sure. Amen. That's right.
God help us.
Amen.
God help me. I said us. I didn't say God help you. I said us.
Right.
I understand. That's the number one thing about preaching hard is when you know you're preaching on yourself. And most people don't think that the ministry thinks that. But any real man of God knows he's just as guilty as anyone else. He's just as human as anyone else. And he needs the same grace of God everyone else needs. He needs the same filling of the Holy Ghost everybody else needs. There's nothing good in me. I'll say it just like Paul. In my flesh, there is no good thing.
Amen.
If it wasn't for the grace of God, if it wasn't for the presence of God in my life, I would be worthless.
Right.
If it wasn't for God convicting me of the things I've done wrong, I'd never make it right. I think I got it figured out. In my own human intellect, I think I know everything. And if you'll be honest, you do too.
That's right.
Every man is right in his own eyes. But there's a way that seems right. And it ends up in death. Because a man that'll lead himself, you're guaranteed to go the wrong way. Now before the fall, that was a different story. Before, when a man was in his right position as a son of God, right there in the presence of God, living and dwelling there, every thought he had was right. Everything he wanted to do was correct.
Right.
But once he fell, his mind was tainted. And he began to see everything perversely. To where it didn't even take, what, 1,000, 1,500 years or something, and God said, I got to wipe it off and start over. Because man had so corrupted himself.
Amen.
Hear ye him. 57. And in the view of this, I wonder tonight on we, the Pentecostal church that claims the new birth, how the Holy Spirit must blush when it comes in the presence of God to bring our character record before the Father. We call ourselves believers and we diddly-daddle around in the world. The men have got away from God. The women has got away from God. It used to be in the old fashion, it was wrong for women to cut their hair. They just bobbed as all the rest of the world. It was wrong for women to wear the manicure or whatever that you call it on their lips. It was wrong for them to do it. And today they just do it like the rest of the world. And today the Pentecostal women wear shorts, little old vulgar clothes, and stand out and mow their yard. Oh brother, something's happened. That's awful old fashioned, but brother, it'll scare you out. It's what the church needs. It's not so much of this Hollywood preaching we're having today, but an old-fashioned revival that'll sweep the country and scourge out the church of God. That's the reason we don't have miracles, all-night prayer meetings and things that we used to have is simply because it's because something's happened and the Holy Spirit cannot bless. We've taken different teachers. We've not let the Holy Spirit do the teaching. And oh, how we get away with some little fancy, slick-tongued fellow that'll say, oh, that's old-fashioned, don't believe in that. But that's the teaching of God's Bible. That's right. Oh, you say, you're just old-fashioned, Brother Bram. The Bible is also. We're guilty before God if we neglect to preach the entire truth of that Bible.
Amen.
And I don't want to be guilty of that. I want to tell us the truth when we need to hear the truth. And you know how often you need to hear the truth? All the time. There's times to know that we're the predestinated sons of God and that we're sealed into the kingdom from time and eternity and we don't got a chance to be lost. There's a time the believer needs to hear that.
But there's a time the believer needs to hear as well. What are you doing with the power of God I've given to you?
Amen.
He needs to check up. You're never above repentance, I'll tell you that right now. Until you're out of this place, go ahead and make that part of your Christian walk is repentance. Because it'll always be there. And don't get shamed that you have to repent. Get shamed you didn't repent earlier.
Right, amen.
Don't get shamed. Don't get condemned. Just be convicted and get it right. Even this whole sermon, if you find yourself way on the unsincerity side, it's not time to go take yourself to hell. Saying, Lord, forgive me and bring me back.
Amen.
I know that potential's in me because why would I be in the house of God if I didn't want to serve God? I'd be at the bar. I'd be at home watching football all day, right? Because I got them on Sunday. You tell me why they put it on Sunday. Why did God allow it on Sunday? Think of it that way. He wants to see, do you love me or not? We look at how bad it's getting, thinking the devil's have a rampage. No, no, God let this happen.
Right.
He wants to see who really loves me.
Amen.
When all the props are out of the way, right? When everything, all the conveniences, all that Satan, all that's out of the way, where do you run to? When you're at home and you're all by yourself, everything's done, you got chores done, all that, you're sitting by yourself and you have leisure time. What are you interested in?
Amen.
And I understand if you want to be lazy with your mind, isn't that the easy way? Just go something that don't mean nothing, just go read some garbage and all that stuff. You can't read the Bible that way. You know too much. Amen. You know when I read this, God's trying to talk to me and I need to pay attention. And sometimes we're too lazy in our minds to even do that.
Right.
Am I the only one that does that? Because I have. And God have mercy, I hate it. Well, I've caught myself reading, I think, man, I only can read this much of the Bible, and I just caught myself reading four times what I just read out of the Bible. I think I can read that much out of the Bible, you know. I think I could read that much of a message book. And do we open up our message book still? Is that okay? Do we do that? Are we sincere enough to know what this message is even about in the first place to see what Brother Ram really did say about it?
Amen.
Do we got the messages playing at our house once in a while? You know, seeing that, hey, do I really believe this or not?
Right.
You need to feed off of it.
Yes.
Why did God take the time? Now look at this. Look at it this way. Not only did he get 1,100 something, I mean, it might be 1,200 now, but recorded messages completed.
Right.
You know, they had tapes back then. And then they went to cassette tapes. But even those, eventually it was going to run out.
Yeah.
Because you can only copy so many copies before they get destroyed. So then they came out with CDs. And we figured out, hey, we can go all the way back to when it was first recorded and get it perfectly.
Amen.
And then on top of that, now we get into a little 2-inch device here that's got the whole thing on it.
Yeah.
But what tends to happen? You've been given so much, you don't count its worth anymore.
Sure.
Think of foreign countries when they have one message book. And this is, to kind of its shame, this is where a lot of false doctrines come up with, actually. It's because a man will read one message book and try to base every little thing on everything that's said in there and not have anything else to check it with what the prophet was meaning.
Right.
Hope you understand. We've been given the whole thing. My, you want to check some up? You just go on the internet, type it in. You can see every single time Brother Branham said that. Why did God allow that to be? Because he wants you to feed on all the word. He doesn't want you to get off the track in any which way. He's given us everything that he has. In the last days, behold, I'll send you Elijah the prophet. Turn your heart back from where you were, back to your Pentecostal fathers.
Right.
Amen.
And in the voice of that seventh angel, are you listening to the voice?
Amen.
You have to be listening to the voice, or you're not going to know what the voice is saying. Anybody listen to all 1,200 sermons? Can't be bored just yet, can you? Anybody read all 1,200 sermons? Now that'd be something. And God's not really, I hope you understand, I'm not telling you to be a theologian. I'm telling you to fall in love with God more.
Amen.
To where when you go to read it, it's not a chore. It's something you love doing.
Right.
It's something you, but as long as it's just a book, you're not being sincere enough. That is not a book. That is God's voice speaking to you.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Even if you're sitting there praying and you can't seem to break through, turn on a tape and listen. That's God talking.
Amen. That's good. Right.
Play a sermon. That's all right. It's God talking.
Amen.
Once in a while, we need to do these things. It's all right.
Yeah.
Let's not turn on something of the world.
Right.
You're not going to get anything out of that. Let's not go watch some cartoon or goof off on this thing. That won't help.
Right.
It'll make it worse.
Yes, it will.
By the time you go to hear the voice of God, you've trained your mind to listen to another voice, and then you don't recognize it anymore.
Right.
what's that word called when you put your voice in something else? Ventriloquist, that's right. And Satan is the best.
Right.
You want to see somebody that can smooth talk and talk just like anyone else? He knows how to talk like God. He's done it. He did it to Eve, didn't he? He said, has not God said that we should do this and this? And he knows how to do it, but there's one thing he can't do. He can't take all the word. And that's all you have to do if you're a Christian. Just yield yourself to the Word of God. Yield yourself to the Holy Ghost, because it's one and the same. The Word and the Spirit are one.
Yes.
And watch, when you have thoughts that are contrary, thoughts that make you be lazy, thoughts that make you insincere, you'll recognize it right away.
Yeah.
And the more you start walking in it, the more you'll realize that God's been trying to get that across to you a lot more than you think He has.
Amen.
And then you begin to appreciate the voice of God, because you realize, my, He's talking to me all the time.
Amen.
But as we said, if you're not sincere, if you're not fully convinced, if you're not fully obedient to the Word of God, there's something wrong in your experience, and unfortunately, you're listening to the devil. There's no middle ground for this. There's two voices in the world, right and wrong. Heaven and hell, Jesus Christ, and the Antichrist. That's the only two voices there are. And if you'll take everything back to one of those two sources, you'll go right every time, because you'll recognize that Jesus, when He tells you something, it's right on the money every time. But Satan, there's always, it sounds good. It looks reasonable, but there's that something. A little bit of doubt. A little bit of like, well, I guess it'll be okay this one time. And all of you know, He done got you, didn't He?
Right.
Because by the time you decide to kick that thing back out, you got to reap this and reap that and reap this. Doesn't mean you're not a son of God or of God now. It just means we got to be potty trained, right? Got to know how to do things the right way, and it's not fun.
Amen.
So while we're preaching this morning, I want God to dwell in every service.
Amen.
I believe in having special services and things. I think that's great to have, you know, if we had evangelists coming through, just let them have a few nights. I think that's wonderful. But what it does a lot of times is people will take that and say, oh, it's a special service. So that means this normal service, meh. We'll just listen for a little while, sing a few songs, and go home. Oh, but special service time. You see, no, no, I don't want you to believe it that way. Every service is a special service.
That's right.
Because the guest of honor shows up every time we ask Him to. He said, if two or three of you will gather together in My name, remember, if My people that are called by My name shall humble them. If you'll gather together in My name, I will be there.
Amen.
How many believes that? How many's completely convinced that that is the truth? No matter what you feel like, no matter what the other brother looks like, no matter what's going on, I came believing in His name, He will be here when I get there.
Amen.
That's why we have service. We want God to dwell all of our services. And I believe He does, but I want every person to believe that He does. I want every person not just to believe in your head, but to believe in your heart and let the Word come and manifest out of your life.
Amen.
That way you can lay your hands on the sick and they'll get well. You can speak with new tongues. You can take up deadly things and it won't hurt you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let me read one more here as I try to close. It is I, be not afraid. 60. Oh God, my prayer. Oh God, is my prayer. Wake up the church again to old-fashioned all-night prayer meetings. Wake up. Wake the people up to a spiritual atmosphere. Oh, it takes that to bring children unto the kingdom. It takes the atmosphere. Right this night we're sitting here. If this right atmosphere would take place, this entire group would be refilled with the Holy Ghost. I say the same right now. If every person would just believe the full word and create the right atmosphere, all of us can leave filled with the Holy Ghost. From top to bottom, front to back. Just feeling the power of God all over you, that you can have that, something that Brother Brandon, when he said, you're more sincere, and he brought him up, he said, something just charged me.
Amen.
And I believe that's what a refill in the Holy Ghost is. It's not the sensation part, that's fine, that comes and goes, but you have the seal. That's what I'm talking about. You have to be filled, but you can get refilled and just feel the power again. And thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. It's not why you're saved, because people feel that all the time watching Free Willy or something else. But it encourages a Christian when he's coming sincerely. And he knows he just needs to feel the power of God one more time, the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Just like Samson, right before he was going to die, he said, Lord, I don't know what else to do, but once more, can I just have the power of God in my life?
Amen. That's right.
And remember, God answers sincerity.
Right.
The right kind of sincerity. He put his full heart in it. So, Lord, let me die. And that convinced God, didn't it? He's sincere. Because anybody that's willing to give up their life, you know they're sincere. And that, there's the Christian right there. I'm willing to lay it all down, Lord. I don't care where you take me, from pillar to post, wherever it might be, to riches, to poverty, to the nice home, to no home, wherever in between. Lord, wherever you take me, I'm willing to go.
Yes, Lord.
And that's when you'll see God come and start moving upon your confession. What was the power given to Brother Branham? Was he binding Satan against himself? He didn't have to worry about that. It was his brother out there. Maybe dilly-dallying on the things of the world. He didn't go and say, Mama, go ahead. He deserves it. Walk away. Shows you the kind of character you're supposed to have. Says, Satan, take your hands off. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It takes the right atmosphere. If this right atmosphere would take place, the entire group would be refilled with the Holy Ghost. Every sick person would be made well. It's the atmosphere that does it. Let me skip down here. Do you know when the Holy Spirit first came? It was on the day of Pentecost, when they were all in one place in one accord. And then there came from heaven a sound like a rushing mighty wind. They had to get the atmosphere right. That's what we need today, brethren. We're way behind. The church ought to be miles up the road. When we take like that, when things over here in Africa the other day, when our precious brother Billy Graham, when the Hindu came out there and made a challenge like that against the word of the living God, it shows we need another atmosphere instead of theology. We need the power of the Holy Spirit among us, and men who's willing to stand on what God said to be the truth. It's atmosphere that we need. Maybe in this great day of prosperity, that we've been so interested in prosperity till we've left off the main thing. That's the condemnation to the American church, I'll tell you that much. We've been so consumed with trying to be prosperous that we left off the main thing. I got to read this one. World's Falling Apart, 63. I'll finish on here. Our educational system, our denominational system, has took the place of the Holy Spirit leading in the church. Our great fine training of ministers and things has taken place of all-night prayer meetings and the old-time way we used to get to God. Now, instead of having preachers, we got lecturers. Men knows the word just as well. They can sit there and put it together in such a way that it's astounding how they can come to it. They know the mechanics, but that ain't the dynamics. We want the dynamics. I don't care about the mechanics. I want to know the dynamics. What does it do? I don't know how the car runs out there. It's got pistons and cylinders, and I don't know how much pressure it used. The only thing I know is the dynamics. Put her out there and drive it. That's how we know. God made the promise, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. How's he going to do it? I can't tell you. I just know the dynamics of God's systems. That's the main thing. Today we've studied the mechanics until it's all mechanics. What good is an automobile without someone in it to drive it? Amen. What good is the lights or the fixtures if there's no current going in it? See, we got all the mechanics. We got schools and educators and so forth that can train a man till he can stand in the pulpit with such manners till he's an eloquent person. That still don't bring the power of God. Where is the power of God that used to be in the church? Where is that Pentecostal blessing used to flow from through the churches? That's the reason our world is falling apart, because we've got away from the real principles of God.
Amen.
And educated men into systems and things. And that is what got us in this condition we're in today. I believe that's the reason our world is falling apart. What started this to go this route? Jesus' commandment, the first commandment says, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And we left that.
Amen.
And the second you leave that, what's the next thing to leave? You're not going to love your brother like yourself anymore. And you take a nation and you destroy it.
Sure.
My people that are called by my name. How many's been called by the name of Jesus
Amen.
Christ?
Amen.
They're called by my name shall humble themselves. You got part of you still in the picture, or is it all Christ yet? When you ask for things, are you part of that, or is it because you're in Him that you get anything? You understand? Are you willing to humble yourself and say, Lord, I'm 100% dependent, I'm 100% convinced, I'm 100% concerned in with what you've said.
Amen.
Not what my mind comes up with, not what I hear on the streets, not what I hear from some other source, but what you told me out of the message of this hour. Lord, I'm convinced. And now I'm concerned. I want to see the power of God in my life like never before. That all things are possible. That when I have needs and I see those around me that have needs, we don't just hope it happens. We know God is on the scene. Stand together. Bow our heads. I hope that message hit home with you. That we need to be more sincere than we've ever been before. I think of Brother Branham all the way up to that time, how he had fasted, how he had prayed, how he had given himself to the ministry and to others, and even forsaken even his own family for the family of God many times. And the Lord still said, you need to be more sincere. Lord, have mercy on me. Anybody tired of the excuses that you come up with why you can't be more sincere? I believe as the prophet prayed the same, Lord, take away my insincerity and give me sincerity. I believe the word's come to trim off some excess in our experience. The things that Satan's put in there, the doubt and the fear and the distractions of life. Our irreverence to His presence, our irreverence to His Word, our irreverence to one another. That's a son or daughter of God there, and I need to respect them the same as I would Jesus Christ. This service, I'm here to respect Jesus Christ just as if He was standing right in front of me, because that's the truth and I believe it. As every head bowed, every heart, remember He said in Lamentations, let us lift our hearts by raising our hands. That's a universal sign of surrender. Are you ashamed? Are you ashamed to give Him your whole heart? Are you completely convinced that He will answer your prayers this service? I believe He will. If you're holding on to any sort of pride, it's time to get rid of it, because this thing will unfold in no time. The rapture of the church is nigh. And going home, the time to be with our families and friends, and to never have to worry about doubts and fears again. Don't prolong the time. If you haven't made a total surrender, let it be this service. I can't make you do it, neither can God. You must willingly give Him your whole heart. You have loved ones, you have needs. Let's lift that together. Let's pray. Pray with your whole heart. Don't worry about your neighbor right now. I'll lead and pray, but you go ahead and pray any way you want to and believe that Jesus Christ is here to answer you. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord God, for this service. And Lord, for let me just follow Your Spirit, Lord, to dissect our hearts. And Lord, all the wicked things that Satan has put in there, Lord, we're grateful to know that the Spirit has come to cut all those things out of our lives. Not to destroy us, but Lord, to edify us and to bring us higher into the faith that we ought to have with You. Lord, we love You. We appreciate You, Lord. We thank You for healing us when we're sick. We thank You for comforting us when we need a friend, Lord. Lord, forgive us, Lord, for how we failed You. Forgive us, Lord, for not fully expressing our heart to You like we ought to. When we begin to go back and remember, Lord, all the wonderful things that You do for us, day in and day out, Lord, it shames me the way I treat You sometimes. Lord, I'm sorry. And I love You, Lord, with all my heart. Lord, I just rededicate myself to You as I believe each person has this morning. We just want to be real Christians. We want to be genuine, Lord. The same Christians that walked in the book of Acts, Lord, we believe we're a part of that in this day, Lord. As there was an Alpha Bride, we're part of the Omega Bride. We're part of the end of all things, Lord. And I pray You'd help us to be busy about the Father's business. And not because we have to or You're twisting our arm, but Lord, because we just love You that much. Lord, that if You could give Your life for us, if You could continue to pour out Your Spirit and show up every time we need You, how much more should we be able to do that for You? And every time You need a friend, Lord, I want to be that friend. Every time You need somebody to actually talk back to You, Lord, since so few will, Lord, let it be me. Lord, You asked Isaiah who will go for us, Lord, and he said, I'm here, send me, Lord. And I say the same, Lord, I'm here. I'll stand for You no matter where You want me to go, Lord. I just make it my confession.
I want to be a real Christian. Fill each soul, Lord, we pray this morning, with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If they've never received the seal of God, may this be the service they receive it. And Lord, they'll be changed from death unto life. Let them have that real kernel of sincerity. It didn't have to be a mountain. It just had to be real. Lord, let them have that real sincerity that, Lord, if there be a sinner, may they just confess that to you and leave out of here, you changing them into a saint. Lord, if there be Christians that are here and just feel backslid in heart and life, I pray that the Word would change that and you just fill them anew with the Holy Ghost and that power from on high. And may they go charged, ready to fight another day for you. Commit our lives into your hands, Lord. If there be any need of healing, I pray that the Word that was preached would heal that person. Lord, they'd walk out, well, I thank you for healing me, Lord. I appreciate it. Lord, as you know how I struggled all morning, but I thank you for doing that for me. Be with each believer, Lord. Let us not let this word just go in one ear and out in the other, but may it drop right into our hearts. Lord, as we open up every channel, Lord, for you to come and fill us. We love you. We appreciate you, Lord. And we just want to worship you a little bit and love on you. Thank you again for all your blessings. And we ask this all to be so. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Let's go ahead and worship him now. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord. And praise him now. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Sing it again, every hand raised.
For he is Lord.
Worship and thank him now.
Thank you, Jesus. His Lord. He has risen from the dead and he is Lord.
Oh, praise God.
Every knee.
Thank you, Father.
Give him praise. And he has risen from the dead.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
And he's
risen. He's here with us now. Just yield yourself to his presence. Thank you, Jesus.
Every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess. Oh, that
he careth for Just sing that again. Believe it now. He cares about you. Do you care about Him?
Oh, He cares for you.
I love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, He cares for you. Oh, through sunshine and shadows, He cares for you.
Just one more time.
And He
softly. I'm just giving you some time to spend with the Lord in this right atmosphere that I believe is here. Do you need a refill of the Holy Ghost? Just ask Him. He'll give it to you. Do you still have a little doubt whether you're really saved or not? Well, just ask Him about it. Say, Lord, help my unbelief. Take it away from me, Lord. If you have that little bit of dissatisfaction with God's Word, and you're not completely convinced just yet, that's okay. Just ask Him about it and say, Lord, why do I feel this way? Can you take it away from me? I believe you, Lord. I don't want to disbelieve anymore. Thank you, Jesus. This is your time now. This isn't for me. This is for you and Him. He's here to fulfill every desire in your heart. He's here just to love on you. Can you just love on Him some? Wash His feet with your praise and just thank Him. Keep your eyes right on Him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Don't let Satan distract you now. We got time to spend with Him. He's the reason we're here in the first place. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You miss being able to pray all night with Him? Say, Lord, restore unto me the prayer life I ought to have. Do you miss the times when you were at work and you just always thought about Him? You always thought about the Word and all of a sudden something happened. It wasn't that way no more. Say, Lord, restore me back to the joy of my salvation, to where it's my thoughts all the day. You wives that stay home, have you lost listening to the message while you're doing your housework? Have you lost spending time with your children and spending time in fellowship with God? I know that stuff's got to get done, but that don't mean we don't fellowship with Him. Yeah, at school, young one, and Jesus just seems a little far away. Let Him take control of your mind now, that when you walk the hallways of that school, they'll know that Jesus Christ is risen because they see Him in you. Do you want to be that? I believe if you just ask Him, He'll make you right into His image because that's what He desires. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Just open up your heart to Him now. Be full about it. Don't be halfway. Don't worry about anything else. Just let it all flow right out to Calvary. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for everything. Oh, thank you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your love and mercy. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Grant it, Lord God, each one. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. We praise you. Thank you, Lord, for all things. Thank you for loving me. Thank you, Lord. Gosh. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
93, if you don't know it.
I was leaving the load of guilt.
Oh, but he didn't leave you that way. He didn't leave you underneath that. Thank you, Father. Oh, then just let his hand touch you now. Believe it. Believe that he's here. Thank you, Lord God.
Oh, and now I am no longer.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made.
Since I met this blessed Savior, yes, Lord.
And since I met this blessed Savior,
since he cleansed and made me whole, aren't you happy today? Thank you, Lord.
And since he cleansed and made me whole,
I shall never cease to praise him. Glory to God. Yes, Lord.
And I shall never cease to praise him.
Shout it all eternity, Lord.
I'll shout it while eternity.
Oh, go ahead and start now. Go ahead and thank him for touching you. Glory to God.
Oh, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Oh, something happened, and now I know he touched me and made.
Sing that chorus one more time.
Oh, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul.
Clap for praise and worship. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, how many is happy to be a Christian this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You believe he heard your cry? Though we've been, our sins be as scarlet, he'd say they'd be white as snow, didn't he? Do you see yourself in the Word of God this morning? Hallelujah. Well, I'm happy to be a Christian. I'm happy that God doesn't lie to me. I'm glad he tells me the truth every time I need it, so I can be the best Christian I can be for him. I'm trying to think what to sing as we get ready to go. Let me share this real quick here. I did get with Brother Sampson, and it sounds like he's going to be able to come. So put December 12th on your calendar. Write it down. I want you all here to hear from him. He's a great brother. I believe we'll have a good time. Lord, we'll still have church Wednesday, but we'll have it Thursday that week as well. So write it down. Try to prepare for it as best you can. Dad, do you have something to sing before we get going? You don't have anything either. Usually doesn't do both of us that way, but was it good to be in the house of the Lord? Let's give him one more hand clap of praise.